Day one, Toronto to Kathmandu. It's late April 2026. It's a 14-hour flight to Delhi. I'm sitting beside an overflow passenger, as in he was larger and overflowed onto my seat a little. Nice enough, though. 14 hours squished in the seat. Anyway, we arrived at Kathmandu midnight at the hotel at 1 a.m., slept maybe a couple of hours in the last couple of days. Day two, we walked 16.5 kilometers around Kathmandu. Noise, smog, absolutely impossible to get anywhere disabled except by taxi, maybe on the back of a motorcycle. There are no sidewalks, motorcycles everywhere, they shoot past you. Howard got whacked by a couple of motorcycle mirrors. We wandered through town, eventually went up the steep hill to the Monkey Temple. Sure, it has a name, but I don't know. They are well fed, so don't bother you, but they run around everywhere and watch where you walk. We went to many trekking stores, and we bought the last supplies, such as hats and walking poles. Good ones cost about $15, the Kevlar, so they say. There are lots of temples and Buddhist stuff anywhere. No one does much about it. It just is. It's sort of like a row of churches. This changes when we get into the mountains, though. For dinner, I had Mongolian chicken with rice. It cost a bit over $1. Nah, couldn't have been. It must be more. Whatever. Not much. And we're walking along, and in the midst of all this mayhem, there were cops doing breathalyzer tests for the motorcyclists, and they know the routine. The cop holds it in front of the driver's mouth, and they blow, just a whoosh. Okay, you go, next. And they're all lining up, and they're just one after another after another. Cops are very friendly there. Kathmandu is an insult to real mayhem, because that word's not strong enough. It's barely under control. Surprisingly clean. Homemade brushes used for everything from cars to statues of Buddha to buildings. Just a bundle of, I don't know, some sort of brush material strapped together, and everyone bends over and wipe the floor. Howard and I were joking that one day somebody's going to think about wrapping it onto a stick. And I'll save their backs. Third day, Kathmandu. We got a van out of Kathmandu. It's crowded. It's noisy. The guy behind us on the bus coughs really loud without covering his mouth. And I am wearing a mask. On the roads. Kathmandu to Desi Sahar in a little van. We're currently in Desi Sahar in a hotel. We took a bus from Kathmandu to Desi Sahar, 7 to 8 hours. Bus, no, it's a mini bus, a minivan. It's a van. There were many people in it. It was completely full, and one other person they had to stop to pick up. They're prearranged. He got the bucket seat. That means the bucket that we were using for our garbage gets dumped on the floor, put upside down, and he just sits on it. Along the way, the bus would stop and drop off packages for people at various places. One time we stopped about 2 hours before the end, and obviously prearranged, the man came over and his like maybe 8-year-old daughter climbs into the front. That makes 4 people in a 3 front seat. That's okay. And they dropped her off just after us, I assume. Desi Sahar is not very high. lower altitude than Kathmandu. Let's see, we're going to go for dinner. And we paid for the hotel. It was about $10, $10 to $11 each. We each get our own room with a shower. And our own bathroom and a shower. And probably hot water. The only thing that they don't have, and we were prepared, is toilet paper. So we brought our own. Most of the way here, it was only 225 kilometers, and it took us 7 or 8 hours, probably 8. Oh, there's the afternoon rooster. The roads are, and there was about, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 kilometers of it, which were great. They're just like divided highway with painted lines. The rest of it is a mess. There's, I have to slow down. It's not potholes because they don't have freezing here. It never freezes at this altitude. But they have they just have big holes in the road. And so he has to creep over them. He has to slow down, creep over them. And then, of course, if it's only one lane each way, you have to wait for the slowest truck up ahead, or the slowest bus, or the slowest car. Meanwhile, all the motorcycles are shooting around you, if they can. And then if there's oncoming traffic, they have to wait until you get through, because you found the best spot to clear it. And then they go through. And there is just no space. Sometimes I don't know how the mirrors didn't hit when passing oncoming traffic. You could easily reach out and touch the car or truck going the other direction. There were a couple of police checks. Unknown what, they stopped. They stopped us, talked to the driver very briefly, looked around inside through the window and waved us on. We saw police actually pull over one motorcycle. The guy was not wearing a helmet. It's mandatory for the driver to wear a helmet, but not for the passengers. Passengers must have hard heads. Anyway, I hope we're not into the rainy season. The guy downstairs said the rainy season might be starting early. I hope not. The second language here that quite a few people speak is English. A surprising number of people speak it. Maybe not quite as many as in parts of Europe, Scandinavia and that, but it is a second language. We met a school teacher on the minibus coming to Bissisahar, and he is an English teacher, and his English was not very good. We had to use different words for him to understand things, and he couldn't understand some of the questions we were asking, such as what grades do you teach. People here were a mix of Western and Eastern clothing. More West, like most of the men wear Western clothes. Many of the women, especially the older women, wear red saris. Most of them are red. Some of the kids are dressed in saris too, some of the girls, but not many. We were listening to the new Prime Minister's rap before. Nepalese Prime Minister used to be a rapper. He's 35 years old now. The guys here were singing with him. Bounce, bounce, bounce. We went through the vertical wall of rock where the road had been cut into it. It's like a half tunnel with one open side. And we're passing some motorcycles going the other direction. And we passed three more hikers walking up. Who are they going to climb ahead of them? Oh, it's almost a straight stretch. woman in the front just got all excited and was talking something Nepalese. I didn't know it. She was looking out the window and pointing back, and the boyfriend was keeping her head from whacking against everything. And we finally, somebody translated, snowed.
It's likely facing south, that hill.
Yeah, she hadn't seen snow before, or maybe very little, if ever.
Yeah. Someone may have dropped them off there, and they're coming by. You'll find them.
We are.
You'll find them.
3,200 meters up, and
finish move?
I don't know where. Somewhere near. I don't know. I shouldn't say where. We stopped to deliver the jeep. Of course, picks up stuff along the way and from Kathmandu, and drops it off. So we have a little quiet break right now. And it's over. Goodbye. I'm standing on the edge of one of the many pedestrian suspension bridges crossing gorges and rivers. It's 8 cables. It's all metal. Any one of the cables would be strong enough to hold the whole thing up. We are a bit above 3,000 meters.
How much?
3,000. And we just passed a yak farm. A few dozen yak there. And we're coming up a Manang within the hour. Let's see, the trees here.
And this is where we will or won't get a headache.
Yeah, within a couple thousand meters, the trees changed, the bamboo disappeared, and it looks like a lot of white pine and scrub and hemlock, and not hemlock, I forget what that's called, juniper, and cedar. You would just think this was Canadian bush. We're dropping off a package near Manang at the Armed Police Force Nepal Mountaineering Rescue Training School. And we're off. 10 kilometers an hour on this rough road. Well, here we are in Manang at 3,500 meters.
Our suite in the...
Our luxury suite, shared room. No bathroom, no toilet here. And by the way,
$400 a night.
400. That's
rupees.
400 rupees each.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a bit under $4
each.
We're paying about $7, $7.50 for this room. That's actually a nice view. The town goes up another 100 meters at least, but we're tired. It's what time did we leave? 9:15. We left 10 hours ago. It's probably 9.5 hours on the trip, including stops. And it was an interesting trip. The road can be really rough, or it could be pretty good.
No cars on the road.
No cars, just jeeps and tuk-tuks, a couple of tuk-tuks, but I don't think they go very far.
They can't.
No, they can't. They couldn't get through in many places.
Yeah. And it's nice having a 100-meter drop-off to the side of the road.
Oh, yeah. You kind of look out the window and look down, and
you
it's...
You can't see it.
Oh, 100 meters. Those are the shorter ones.
Yeah.
Of course, at that point, it doesn't matter. On the road, the drive from Bessisahar to Manang, how far was it? 100 kilometers?
Something. Yeah.
100 kilometers took 10 hours. 8 hours? 10.
Well, look at this.
Thereabouts.
Dog shit.
That's including stops. So it's just so bouncy and everything. My Fitbit watch recorded 27,000 steps, of which probably 25,000 bumps. It probably missed a few. I think there was probably more than 25,000 bumps on the road. We are now in Menang. This is our rest day. Well, no, acclimation day. We have to acclimatize to the atmosphere. We're at about two-thirds of atmospheric pressure, two-thirds bar. And we're going to move hotels. We rate, like hotels are rated in stars, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We decided you have to sort of get a bit finer resolution, like how many points on the star. So this hotel we're in now is a 4-point single star.
Three?
I think four. Three or four. Okay, it's not that bad. I mean, there's no heat in the rooms. Two of us have to share a room. Yeah, we have to. And there's one bathroom for four rooms. Only two are occupied. There's only four rooms in this whole hotel. The bathroom is sort of another euphemism for a hole in the floor with a bucket of water beside so you wash everything out afterwards. And bring your own toilet paper. Don't forget it. To put the hotel in perspective, we paid, call it $4 for the room for two, and $5 for oatmeal for breakfast. Okay, about to check me in.
Okay. QR scanned successfully. Permit checked in successfully.
Thank you. We recognize that voice. We've talked to a few people, Nepalese. The families, we see one or two kids, sometimes three. But most of them seem to have one or two kids when they're out and about. They have asked us how many kids we have, and I say none, and this none, you have no kids. It's like, how is that possible? That kind of attitude. And I don't go into detail to say we have no kids. We've been together 38 years, so that's good. And they don't know what to make of somebody who doesn't have kids. It's just foreign to them. But on the other hand, they are like, the largest family I have seen, and I assume that's all their kids, is three. Good morning. Okay. We moved out of the Superview Hotel. Lodging with four rooms, half of which were empty, and a shared squat toilet. Bring your own TP. Last night we went for dinner. I saw this place on a YouTube video, the Royal Menang Hotel. They have at least eight rooms. And that's nothing. They have flush toilets. And Howard and I each have our own room, and it's costing us $9 each. So, I'm a bit out of breath. Sorry, we did a trial walk down 50 meters to the river, and then up about 60 meters up the hill, and then it started to rain. We could have got farther. But the rain was starting to spit, and Howard didn't bring a raincoat. So we decided, we got the idea, we turned around and came back. The wind here picks up in the afternoon. I read about that. There's one airport about 4 days hike away in a town called Jomsom. And they only have flights between 6 a.m. and noon. Because by noon, the winds are too strong and gusty for planes to land. They fly to Havilland Dash 7s and Dash 8s out of there. And probably Twin Otters. All made in Toronto or Montreal. I'm still catching my breath. So today, Howard and I have discussed this. Today was our test walk. How are we doing? I went up 60 meters, had to stop twice. It was fairly steep, but still, I had to do two complete sit-down stops. Let my heart rate go back down and start again. We are at 3,500 meters. The base camp is at 4,100 meters. So that's an extra 600. Lake Tilacho is at 4,900 meters. That's another 800 meters. Like in case you lose a toenail or something like that, you can tape it on. So he used that. He taped his adapter in place so that now he can charge it. Anyway, back to what it's saying. I think it was, well, whatever. The last option we have is to start heading down. We'll take several days and we'll walk down. I seem to be okay walking down. It can take 4 or 5 days, and we can even take a day off in between to get to Bessisar. We can, that's where the trail starts, and we'll have to decide what to do from there. We can go to Pokhara or Kathmandu by bus or minivan. I think next time I'm going to try to splurge and get something a bit more comfortable. 25,000 bumps is not very good. But out of all these options, I'm afraid my asthma is catching up with me. Age, asthma, physical condition, it's catching up, and I don't know if I can climb even 500 meters in a day. We'll have to talk it over. Bye for now. I think I lost a recording from this morning, so this might be a repeat. I was talking about the Royal Menang Hotel. Of course, it's unheated. The only heat anywhere is in a restaurant in the evenings. They'll light a fire in the fireplace. Basically, a metal stove in the middle, but it's not bad anyway. The floors are all rough cut woods, nailed down. Most of the nails are still down. The bathroom is a bit of a climb to get into, but it's surprisingly large. All it has is a toilet and a sink. Perhaps a flush toilet. Bring your own toilet paper, they don't provide it. So this morning I went for a walk around and circled out of town, came back by the river and went up, back up to town. It's less than 100 meters and I felt it. I'm glad I didn't go with Howard. Going up 100 meters I had to stop several times. Stop one time talking with a local. He's working as a guide. Just not today. Lives part where, like, he said an 8-hour bus ride from Kathmandu. Probably an 8-hour bus ride from here, well, jeep ride from here. But he probably finds cheaper ways. I don't know. There is no cheaper way. And watched a couple of people, a family, picking weeds, using a pair of yaks to plow the ground. So one guy would be running the plow. It looked like hard work. He had to really push down. And then the others would be pulling up weeds. Talked to another person. There are greenhouses. Well, for lack of a better word, it's basically harp stretched over bunch of bent wood, and he said it, his English is quite good, better than the English teachers. He said they're growing, that's the baby cauliflower in there, because they have to be careful at night that they don't freeze. Once they get big enough, they'll plant them outside, and they will survive. Then I went to the bank, which is an experience in itself. There was a guard there with a metal detector. Metal detector, he didn't seem to care, so I showed him my phone anyway. Didn't notice the pocket knife. I don't think he cared. What are you going to rob a bank here? Where are you going to go? Go hire a jeep to go down out of the mountains? Well, you know, you won't get far. So, I don't know whether they have a guard. I guess it's for show. Anyway, they have to record everything. It took half an hour to exchange U.S. money to Nepalese rupees. The exchange rate keeps increasing day by day. Actually, the difference one day from the morning to the afternoon. We were going to change in the morning, and then by the afternoon, when we went, it had already gone up, which meant the rupee was worth less. It's sad to see that high an inflation rate, that it can change during a day. Even now, it's even higher than that. And they have to examine each bill. I had 500 US, mostly in 20s. He rejected any bill with a tear in it, with a bit of ink on it. There was anything suspicious about it. Does this all manually. Then manually he writes down every serial number, records everything except my blood type. Then go to another teller to get the teller. So teller one, teller two, but there's only one teller. And she almost repeats the process. They don't bother with putting the money in the safe during the day. They just have stacks of money hanging around. Must have been like thousands of Canadian dollars worth, thousands and thousands. They just leave it out because what's anybody going to do with it? Besides, you know, there's cameras, and even if you're a foreigner, you're not going to get anywhere. The guard, he had the metal detector, and he had a big cookery at Nepalese and Gurkha knife on his side. Then I got the money, exchanged, and felt like eating like a king. So I went to the good cafe. I didn't like the one I went to this morning. I think there are only two. And I had another cafe latte and a apple something. What do they call them? I don't know. It was a meal in itself. Very sweet. But, eh. This evening I'll eat properly. And that is it. Now the forecast for today is sunny, and in this afternoon they're saying 100% chance of rain. Heavy torrential rains even, so I hope Howard is somewhere before then. He has his weather gear with him though, but still it's not fun walking in rain, or even, as they say, torrential rain. But the forecast is very approximate. I think they use a dartboard to do it. The other day they forecasted rain and we never saw anything, and then it's supposed to be sunny and it drizzles, and we'll see. Anyway, this is going on noon. They say in a couple of hours it's going to be pouring, so we'll see. People are working out in their gardens, looking out the window here. Well, they have fields divided. I think they're onions they're growing in that one. There's a lady crouched down picking weeds by hand. There is one rototiller in town. I don't know if they rent it out or if anybody uses it. Right now I'm in that cafe I said. They have a Visa Creme cappuccino machine. And they're actually pretty good with it. It's funny, there's anything here has to be hauled up by jeep. Anything big, like the girders for the bridge across the river. It's not a very big bridge. I have no idea how they get it here. They can get it close in a truck, but a truck can't reach here because the road gets too narrow in places. It's cut into the rock walls. It's like a half tunnel going through the rock walls, so a truck can't get through, and these beams are far too big for a jeep to carry. I wouldn't be surprised if they took them from near there by helicopter and dropped them here. I can't think of any other way to get it. Addendum to the bridge problem. When we went to the bridge and looked at how it was built, we saw that all the girders are done in sections, so each section can be carried on a jeep. Today I was talking to, well, in this cafe, there's a group of about 10 Australians, some from Canberra, some from Perth, east side, west side. And Canberra ones are all government workers. They're traveling with a guide. They're going up over the pass, the Thurong Lang Pass, Thurong La Pass, I think it's called, at 5,500 meters, and then they go down the other side. And it takes several days. There's a lot of Israelis. A lot of younger men who have just gotten out of the army. It's a very common thing. When you do your army service and you get out, you go travel. Addendum to the Israelis. All Israelis, men and women, have to serve at least 2 years in the army, up to 7 years if you are a fighter pilot. There were equal numbers of Israeli men and women trekking, most of them in their early 20s, just as they get out of the army. None of them were religious, such as wearing a kippah.
Of course, the common language is English. There is really not much else.
And there's Europeans, for a number of Europeans, German, French.
We met one Canadian who lives 2 kilometers from Haley, my niece. And no Americans. That's the only other Canadian we met.
Today, hopefully, Howard made it to Tillitro Lake and back to base camp, Tillitro base camp. I went for a walk up a hill on one side of town to a shrine. About 100 meters up, and nearly killed me. Had to stop every 10 meter rise. On the way down, actually, I didn't have much trouble. It's hard on the legs, but breathing was fine on the way down. So that's a good sign for when we start descending. Although descending is an average down. It's up and down, up and down. I also went into the museum and dropped off my laundry, not the same place. And they showed a series of pictures from the late 1970s when a Czech photographer had come through. The area had only been open to tourism for 2 years. That was the second year. So there was virtually no tourism, and they were showing the difference between the town then and now. Surprisingly, not much different except for the main street. Now the main street is totally tourism. A lot of the houses now, and especially before, they were just built one on top of each other because some areas, the hillsides are so steep. They used homemade ladders, for better lack of a better word, boards with steps, I would say, or pieces of wood nailed to them, and they would climb up these to the next level. And in some places, they would go up 7 levels. So to get to your house, you might be going up 7 levels and say hi to your neighbors on the way past, because you'll be stepping in their front porch and then going to the next ladder. There are still ladders visible around, not as many as before. One thing yesterday is I went for a walk down by the river on the low side. It's probably 50 meters down. In the side of the hill, there are a bunch of caves, or maybe a dozen caves. It was very hard to tell how big they were. Today, the museum, sorry, I did a reverse image search and found those exact caves, and apparently they're common around Nepal and Tibet. No, they're so old, no one knows who made them, and no one knows how people got up to them. Curiously, I asked a couple of people in the restaurant what they were. I showed them the picture. They'd never seen them before. Where are they? And I pointed across the river on the mountainside on the other side there and pointed, and they'd never seen them. I said, well, okay, line yourself up with a cell tower just on the other side of it. Addendum about the caves. They were made by monks, unknown time, and they are still occasionally used. Howard and I did try to climb up to them. We got very close, but we couldn't do the last couple of meters. It was too dangerous. Kind of anachronism. Cell tower used to reference caves so ancient that nobody knows who made them. Anyway, it turns out Menang has been around for millennia, maybe, and it's just slowly grown. It's an agricultural town. Up until the road was built, everything came on the back of people or yaks or mules. To get anything into the houses, of course, they have them on their backs. Even the porters now have headbands that they put the packs. They have a strap across their chest, but the weight is carried on headbands, and they're hunched over. To me, it looks very awkward. When I walked through town, I went to the western side where the trail, the trekking trail is, and watched the people leaving. There were a few dozen people, and this is getting into the off season. Many of them had guides, many didn't. Many had porters. You can be a porter or a guide, and some of them are porter guides. They do both. That's ambitious. Well, good news. Howard made it to Tillitro Lake. Left quite early with a group of Indians, three of them. He traveled up to base camp with Tillitro base camp with them. He stayed in a hotel. He picked his hotel because it had smoke coming out of the chimney. So he said, yep, I'll go there. That's only heat in the common room in the restaurant or whatever they call it. And this morning he left bright and early with the Indians and said it was hard going. Not surprising. they had snow. It started to, they ran into snow. There was snow on the way. It was quite deep in places, but the trail was packed down. Says your pole would sink in otherwise, if you're off to the side. Said about half an hour from the peak, he met a guide trying to half carry some woman up just to make it to the lake. So he took the other arm, and between the two of them, they got up to the lake. Said it was kind of a non-event when they eventually got there. She said the lady was half out of it. The smart thing would have been to turn back, but they didn't. But regardless, the three of them got there. The lady sort of came fully conscious, I guess, with a bit of a rest. They stayed at the lake for a while, said, yeah, it's all lake covered in snow and ice. There's a nice view, probably took some pictures. Then the lady was doing better by then. Howard met up with the Indians, and they were starting on their way down back to base camp. And on the way, it started to snow. And these three Indians had never seen snow. They'd never been in a snowstorm. And Howard said, the smart thing to do, I'll give you some advice, the smart thing to do is go down fast now. And they were a bit slow. They were excited about being in snow and all that. And they were taking their time. And he says, I'll see you down below. So he went down back to base camp by himself. He was okay. He was cold. He was tired. He got back to base camp mid-afternoon. Sent me a text. We talked on the phone. He's doing fine now. The Indians showed up a little bit later, and they were okay, although they were cold. They're more used to 40 plus degrees. We talked to them yesterday, and they said, yeah, 42 degrees in their hometown yesterday. But anyway, all is well. He's really tired. He went to sleep. Hopefully he'll leave early in the morning around sunrise and be here early afternoon. And then we'll stay here overnight and decide whether we stay another day or start heading down. Good morning. Howard is on his way back. He'll be here this afternoon. Before I forget, in Manang, there is not a single doorknob. There are bolts. You throw a bolt on the inside to keep the door closed, and you throw a bolt on the outside, and if it has a hasp, you can lock it, put a lock padlock through it. They're down the field here. With a couple of yaks. We just reached the end. Now we have to turn them around. Apparently, you have to yell at yaks. One of them is fertilizing the rows as they go. Guys working really hard to keep the plow in the ground and guiding it straight. Tripped over a water pipe. They're just sort of strung all over. I'm sitting in the edge of town waiting for Howard to round the corner, less than a kilometer from here. Looking around, we're probably 200-300 meters below the tree line. Snow comes pretty well to the tree line in most places. There's one half-hearted glacier in a valley near here. I think it's melting. Most of it is probably just melting and retreating like glaciers around the world. There are some mountain peaks, obviously covered in snow, off in the distance. Many of them go into the clouds. I think I'm quite sure that's the Annapurna Range. The big one that could see a large base and then clouds, and they have a clear, I think that's Annapurna 3, maybe. Not that it matters. Annapurna has three main peaks, called very creatively 1, 2, and 3. 1 is the highest and the most dangerous. I think I mentioned this before. In 2014, the summit to fatality rate was around 35%. Namaste. It's the standard greeting. However, by 2024, 10 years later, it had dropped to 20%. It was one of the most dangerous peaks in the world. It's now been overtaken by K2. Oh, it's now down to, 20%. One in for every five people that summits, one person dies on the mountain. It's just sort of unimaginable why people would do that. Anyway, I'm watching there is the last road going to, I can't remember the name of the town, and that doesn't matter anyway. And a Jeep just went up there loaded with supplies and probably people. That's the only way that town gets any supplies. It's the only way Menang gets any supplies. A couple of people working the fields down there, they all do it by hand. If they don't have oxen, yaks, they do it by hand. A group of 9 trekkers and a guide and 1 porter. I'm sure there are more porters. Actually, the Jeep might have been taking them up even. Just went by. The porter is the last one. There is a series of prayer wheels. And you go through always with your right hand, just spin, a little spin on each one. You went through slower than the most to do that. Now, I think number 10 here is lagging behind. You better catch up. Oh, a couple more coming. Yep, 3 porters, each one carrying about 3 heavy bags. I've seen porters carrying water. Came up by Jeep and they have to distribute it around town. We counted 48 liters of water. Call it 50 kilos that they're carrying. But they're not going far. These guys, the limit is 15 kilos a pack. And they're carrying 2 to 3. There's been a cat hanging around the area. I'm going to have a conversation with it, see what it's up to. Meow. 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 A lady a minute ago was carrying a bucket of yak manure to spread on the fields below where I'm sitting. She was having a conversation with a cat too.
Flat with my backpack. No, and this is how you have to sleep when you're laying in the field. You sleep like this.
Why? Why can't you pull the thing up under your chin?
Well, you don't want to pull it too, because I had it like this.
Yeah.
And I had my finger there.
Oh.
Because I lost it once.
In the wind.
Yeah.
Well, look at the wind now. It's the afternoon. The wind picked up. Every day.
So, an hour and a half through snow, which is about this high, depending along the trodden path, you know. And there's this guy trying to carry his Indian girlfriend up, and she is just flopping.
Yeah.
And my thought is, I'm going to help her get to the top.
They should turn around.
I know they should. That was a real conundrum there.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to hold her all the time, but there were a few times he was on one side, or I was on the other, and we'd keep her going. Get to the top. She puts on this fancy shawl.
Sorry?
Shawl.
Okay.
Puts on this fancy one, and took a few photos at the top with this fancy shawl on, and then started down. Going down, she was doing much better. I found this one section again yesterday on the way down. You get up at 3:30 and you leave around 4:30. So by the afternoon, I'm up there maybe half an hour tops, 15 minutes more. Right there. It's blowing windy, and the lake, you can tell it's a lake because it's at the base of a couple mountains and it's flat. Frozen solid, 1 to 2 meters of snow, I guess. As I was, where we were walking, I could sometimes sink the pole about 2/3 without trying, if I would have tried to, and I would hit rocks, so there's certain areas where it was deeper. Holy fuck. Oh. So I sort of followed them down. And,
made sure that she made it.
Yeah, we all laid down on the grass, brush, carpet of plants. Mm. With the concern being any one of them can make a, you know, itchy, rashy. Didn't care. Stuck my backpack behind my head, laid down. Then about 20 minutes later, she goes, come on.
Yeah, I'm sure you were older than both of them combined.
Yeah. His dad was 50, and I forget hers.
Most of the people here are like in their 20s, and maybe some in their 30s.
They go into the city when they're too old.
I'm out of breath. I walked up flight of stairs twice. Anyway, update on Howard. He's okay, but he was really tired when he came in. He was lying down on the two-seater. He ordered a veggie chow mein, and he had trouble getting through it, and then he promptly threw it all up. Every little bit of it. He got a mouthful of water down, and he's just going to bed. He's now lying down. I gave him a couple of Tylenols to take when he feels like he can take them. Like one. He'll take one, but I gave him two. And Diamox, which is the altitude sickness pill. He took one this morning. He's supposed to take two of the half pills every day, one morning, one evening. So when he feels like he can keep it down with a mouthful of water, he'll have the Diamox too. Anyway, he's sleeping. So I've got time. I'm just going to read for a while. Forgot to add, this what he has is classic altitude sickness. I forget the name of the acronym, but What is good is it doesn't have the headache, which is called HACE, high altitude cerebral edema. And he doesn't have, he's not coughing and having a lot of trouble breathing. That's HAEP, high altitude pulmonary edema. He doesn't show any symptoms of either of those. Just, well, I wouldn't call him mild, but just symptoms of general altitude sickness. He should be okay. He's come down 1,000 meters, over 1,000 meters, so that helps a lot. He should be okay by tomorrow. Another day. We decided to explore around the area rather than start heading down. Howard just found the city dump. We went down and then we climbed up to those caves. The local says they're not used anymore. He probably knows what he's talking about. Used by monks. We got within a few meters of them, but we decided the risk was not worth the reward. So we stopped. There was a gully, and if you slipped on the gully, you'd go down quite a distance, and it wouldn't be pleasant. So we're walking on the flats beside the river, just seeing what there is. We are at the local school. Oh, look, it's a Mugen David on the sign there. I don't think it's a Jewish school. I think it's just a symbol they use. It is preschool to where it's unclear. I think grade 10. It's hard to get the exact number, but anyway.
Most could greet us in English. We would say hello in English, and most could say hello and where are you from?
Yes, and they were happy to speak English, and they learn it. And the classes are extremely small, anywhere from 1 to 5 kids, with one teacher each, and they're teaching math. Unclear if it is algebra. What do they call it? Coordinates or something?
It could have been coordinates. I don't know.
We're not sure. And there wasn't enough writing. Yeah. The teaching is generally in Nepali. This is a long U-shaped building, single story, of course. One of the dogs walked into the kitchen because somebody forgot to close the door, and he stole a package of something, and now he's eating it. I think it was a liquid. I'm not sure.
Could have been something, but
anyway, yeah. They closed the door now. There's a preschool here too. There are tables outside right now. There is one lady giving personal teaching to one child who's maybe, what, 5 over there?
Yeah. They're Nepalese. They could be 15.
Yes. Oh, come on, dog, get out of there. Okay, he's out. It's a brave one.
He was smart, though.
But the dogs are very passive. Oops, he left.
She's not happy with Brown Socks. Brown Socks is still following us after about an hour and a half up a steep screw lift.
And Howard and I were struggling to get up there, and he sort of walks up, lies down, waits for us. Never made a sound. We left him some gorp, and he left the peanuts. He ate everything but the peanuts. Anyway, we were headed off to find the power plant. There is one here. There's so much running water. Electricity is easy to make. But
That's our next quest.
Well, we ran into a teacher who had very little English. She's obviously, hopefully not an English teacher. But she said, come to the school. And we came and we looked around. There's how many rooms? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 20, 25 rooms at least.
Ranch style in a U.
Yeah, nicely painted.
There's a stage actually over there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Al, you should get up there and sing for them.
No, that would scare the natives away. So in all the classes, it's pencil, paper, and maybe a blackboard. Except for one room, they had this giant TV. How big is probably 75-inch?
Yeah.
And a cracked laptop. That was the math class.
With PowerPoint.
With PowerPoint. It was PowerPoint?
Yeah, 100%.
Well, we just walked into the local generating station.
Unguarded.
Unguarded.
Walked down to the sole generator, checked it out.
It's 160 kilowatts. That's about a million times smaller than Pickering. But it's enough to power the town. And if the town doesn't use all the electricity, they sell the rest to the national grid. Found the police station. It's a temporary police station. I have a feeling it's temporary for a long time. And there's four cops out doing laundry and standing around. And then we ran to the teacher, went to the school, already talked about that. We went to the power plant, I think I talked about that. And then we walked up to back into Menang. And it's uphill all the way, and we just kept stopping, and we were in no hurry, but we're back. We are pretty well halfway walking from Menang to Pisang, 16K. Howard just noted that before there were just trees, a few trees around. Suddenly now there's a forest. Actually pretty
white
thick
pine.
Forest. White pine. It's things we don't recognize. Cedar. We saw some red pine bark. I haven't seen a red pine.
Slow.
We keep going too fast. Either of us can say slow, and we slow down. We think another 2.5-3 hours, and we'll be there. For the night.
What?
Well, we made it to, where are we? Pisang.
Bob Marley Inn.
It's probably 16.5 kilometers. There was one pass we had to go up, and it wasn't bad. I think it was 80 meters or so, I don't know. But we're here at the Bob Marley Inn, and this.
And Howard's not complaining. We'd be jamming, man. Do you see password?
We were, we got really tired, though. I'm glad we made it. And our bag is here. We paid, how much we paid the Jeep?
$500.
$500, which is about $4.50 to take it here. In Pisang, we are staying in the Bob Marley Hotel or Inn or whatever. I'd rate it 3 points on the 1-star, but I've always been generous with points. Howard and I each have our own room because it's not a very busy season right now. It's 500 rupees, which is about $4.50 for one room. So he said, oh, we'll take two. He says, 1,500. I said, what? He said, okay, 500 each. If you have breakfast and dinner with us. Oh, okay. Didn't make sense. Anyway, I'm trying to get some sleep, but that's impossible. They're doing some construction outside. They're adding one more room. There's about 10 rooms in this place. A lot of the people talk quite loud to each other, maybe to get over the sound of other people talking quite loudly to each other. Motorcycles come by and vroom, vroom, and cars honk their musical horns, and right now there's somebody with a some sort of a power tool out there doing something on the woodworking. So I haven't gotten any sleep. The bedding, which is one kind of hard mattress, with by the way, there are three beds in this room. That's how empty they are right now. The bedding is a mattress and a comforter. The comforter would be of interest to historians, which is around the last time they were washed. But at least there aren't any bugs around. So far at this altitude, we've seen Howard watch two ants today. He thought there was only one, but that seems impossible. He found another one. And I saw one little winged insect. Very light, very fragile. Don't know what it was. Well, school is out and the kids are out playing just outside. The owner, who we call, I've nicknamed him Foghorn Leghorn. His wife is quite nice. She's a lot quieter. Was talking with them, and there's a motorcycle going by. Power tools. They're doing some farming just on the other side of this wall. Needless to say, there is no insulation. Actually, funny enough, there kind of is some foam insulation, but it's probably a millimeter thick. There's no heat in the room, of course. I can't figure out how this room works. There is, of course, no doorknobs. They just have a bolt on the inside and the outside. So three beds in this room. What if somebody has to go out to the bathroom and they, I guess they just don't close the door? Anyway, I can say that there is no Pasang marching drum and brass band, because if there was, surely they would make a visit to this place just to keep up the noise. But as Howard said, by 6 o'clock it gets dark and things will quiet down. Anyway, I'm going up to talk with him.
You what?
No, just keep it in your mouth.
No.
You know what? Don't do that. Okay.
No.
Oh, it turns into gum?
Is it gum? What are you watching on your phone?
I'm watching allergies.
Thomas the Tank Engine?
Is there a map of the world on your phone?
Look.
What is that?
A right over here.
I don't want to sit beside you.
Who is that? What is that you're watching? Cartoon?
Yep, look at this.
Look at what? That one?
Get on Canada.
Oh, penguin.
Now this is the Gugu Gaga penguin.
Gugu Gaga penguin. Oh, it is. Gugu Gaga penguin.
No, this one right over here.
Hey, do you
right
know,
over there.
I got a question for
look
you.
Look, this one over here.
Yeah, I know that one.
She'll punch
yep, the Gugu Gaga penguin.
Do you know Punch the Monkey?
Yep.
Show us Punch the Monkey.
Do you look this?
No. Punch the Monkey, no.
What?
Has he made it here yet?
No. But you watch Thomas the Tank Engine, eh?
Yep. Look at this. Oh, this froggy is there.
Getting a tour of all his shows.
Do you remember Lily Love Braids?
Who?
Lily Love Braids. Look.
Lily.
Who is that?
I don't know. You know the show. I don't.
Is that the prototype?
Probably. Lily twin sister and Lily something.
It's your job, too.
What's her name?
His name is Lily Love Braids. And another one is Blair, and this is Google. So this is, this was the opening. Globy, it's Globy, of course.
Globy. I don't know any of them.
Why, look, do you know Cat Duck and Donkey? And Kissy Missy and Huggy Wuggies are plushies? 100 are plushies, like Spranky.
I don't know them at all.
Who does the Tom's D.O. Tom's D.O.E.X.E. Oh, yeah. And also Choo Choo Dolls for Evil Chains.
The proceeding was brought to you by Maya and Foghorn Leghorn's only son, their only child, 5-year-old, never did catch his name. He learned English so that he can watch cartoons. He is trilingual, Nepali, Hindi, and English. He stopped talking Hindi a while ago for no reason at all. He'll start again later. On the way here, we passed the porter going the other direction. Just asked him how heavy was his load. 50 kilos.
This he's competing against a Jeep.
Yeah, but he's doing it. I'm having yak curry with rice, and the yak died a long time ago. How would you describe it, Howard?
So, I did take one piece from him, and it's still in my mouth. If you took string and put it in 10 knots, like kite string in 10 or 20 knots, then you doused it in really good flavor. I think I'm chewing on kite string with really good meat flavor.
Be prepared. Here is our little 5-year-old trilingual friend singing a song without being asked. Good morning. It's another day. Waking up in Lower Pasing in the Bob Marley Hotel. 10 rooms, 1 bathroom. I don't know, maybe 8 rooms, 9, who knows. It's cold out. It's about 0 in there. I'm under the covers. Okay! I'm under the covers trying to keep quiet because the walls are so thin. Howard and I were having a conversation between them. He just yelled at me to be quiet, but he was laughing.
We are over halfway to our destination for today. It's noon now, so we'll take it easy. We'll be there in 2-3 hours. We're in no rush. Just another 7 kilometers. What happened exciting today? We went through the rock cut where they had to blast to get to make the road. And now we're sitting in a small building restaurant beside the Manang Agro apple orchards. They make a lot of... They call it Nepal wine, but it's actually cider. So I'm going to have to pick some up and see what it's like. We have an apple crumble, cappuccino, and black coffee. So we just had to walk a little bit through the bush just to get to those people, 50 meters tops. The bush here is indistinguishable from Canada. The only difference is, I can confirm, yaks do shit in the woods. Forgot to mention, a couple hours ago we were walking on the trail and there was a Jeep. No, I'm saying there was a Jeep. Now those are just Jeeps every few minutes. But there was a side of the road, there was a nice purse, obviously handmade, probably somewhere in Nepal. But the contents is what is
really nice contents.
There was no ID in it.
We were looking for ID
I hope there's no passport or ID in there.
Yes, that would have been bad.
This is where the story takes a dynamic change.
So, shut up, let me speak. It's inside was this trunk of hash larger than a dice, along with the accessories like a lighter and that.
Two place accoutrement.
And so I told Howard, look, you get the contents, I get the bag. Done. We are in Chamay. We finally made it, 16 and something kilometers, or 14, I don't know, something like that. It is actually 600 meters lower, and we can feel the difference in temperature. Lower than yesterday. It's already warmer. The air is probably thicker. I don't know. I don't know if I feel. I'm so tired. I can't tell. But we found a very nice hotel for equivalent of $4.50. We each get our own room with flush toilets and hot showers. There is Wi-Fi if you're close enough to the edge of the room. We just went into a... asking where the bag was. We had a Jeep bring down our bag. And it's a very traditional Nepalese little restaurant. It's about the size of a small room in our house. Like the size of a small bedroom or so. On one side, there's a wood fire with a big pan in it. And they make... I forget the name of it. It's a traditional Nepalese bread that's fried in oil that we don't want to know the age of. And we had that and chai with milk. Very good. And talked to some people there. And then we came, they said, try the place across the street. It's very nice. It's all pine paneling. The one wall there is plaster or something with a kind of childish painting of elephants roaming on a landscape with clouds and birds. I've yet to see an elephant in Nepal, but other than that. And it's really nice. I could stay here a couple of days. The only problem is you go up three flights of steep steps to get to the office. And say, oh, your room is over there. Three flights of steep steps. By the last steps going up to my room, I was grabbing the stair ahead of me to help pull me up. I was so tired and it was so close. It's almost like a ladder. A comment on the place and the people. They're very honest. They expect no more, no less than whatever. If the price is 1,000 rupee, which is about $9, they will, you know, they will say it's 1,000, not 950, not 1,050. You give them too much, they'll give you back. Howard made a mistake once. Instead of paying 300 rupee, he gave 3,000 rupee. And the lady laughed and gave it back and said, that's 3,000. There have been a couple of exceptions. At the Royal Menang Hotel, they keep a running tab of everything. I was expecting about 15,000, which is $140 for... I was there 5 days, Howard was there 2 days, we had meals there, and we had drink and coffee and breakfast and that. So you can't complain about the price. It came to 17,000, and then we had, I can't remember, I think we had a fancy breakfast, it came to another 1,700. He added them up and it came to 20,000 and change. And this was a little addition done on the side, and I looked at him and said, that's not right. And I went back and showed him, and he said, oh. And he pulled out the ubiquitous calculator. Everybody has the big number calculators.
He went punch, 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 punch. He said, oh, this is the amount. Hard to say if it was an honest mistake or if he punched the wrong button somewhere. I don't know. The other one that was questionable was last night at the Barb Marley Hotel. We called the owner and his wife. Maya was the wife. Maya is a very common name here. It means love. The owner, we called him Foghorn Leghorn, or FL for short. He tends to be kind of loud and talk to people all the time, and he's a little bit puffed up too. He's self-important, but nice enough. I didn't trust him really, but that's, nothing happened. It's just that that's the closest I've come to not trusting somebody here. By the way, we paid 4,000 rupee for the jeep from Bessie Sahara to Menang to get up to altitude. And we talked to some Indians and they said, oh, we paid 3,000. And we asked a couple of people and they say, all Indians and Nepalese pay 3,000. Everyone else pays 4,000. You know, fair enough. That's like $35. And it's an 8-hour ride crammed into a jeep, and that was the 25,000 bump ride. So it's, I mean, it's very inexpensive. I do not begrudge them charging Westerners more. I just came back from dinner in this very nice hotel. But, you know, I don't even know the name of the place. It's Namaste, Royal Garden Hotel, Chame Menang District. Very nice. I pretty well rated as 2 stars in the Western system. Definitely stayed at worse, definitely stayed at better. The only thing that brings it down is the Wi-Fi is a bit weak up here. I can't get Wi-Fi. And the standard for Nepalese, the bathroom and shower and toilet and everything is all in one. So you close the lid of the toilets and you take the toilet paper out. You have to supply your own toilet paper. You take that out, although they do provide a hose there. Other than that, this is a very nice place. So we decided, I talked Howard into spending an extra day here. We have enough days. I'd rather spend a day here than a day in the big city. Oh, the restaurant. Yeah, we had very good meal. Dal bhat is the standard, very common fare. It's lentils and rice with lots of accoutrement around it, the veggies and a couple of things I couldn't identify, but they were good. 2 types of veggies, pickled and fresh. And in the restaurant has a cat and a dog that wander around, which is perfectly fine. The cat was sitting beside Howard having a good nap while we were eating. The dog likes spending its time near the one fireplace, fireplace for lack of a better word, just an iron stove in the middle or off to the side of the room. Takes the chill off the room. The room otherwise is unheated. I guess that's not quite Western standards, but accepting that, I'd still give it 2 stars. Nice clean sheets, good condition. They have washed these comforters, unlike Bob Marley Hotel, where I don't know the last decade those sheets and comforters were washed. Anyway, Howard went down to the hot spring and my old legs said no. We'll go again tomorrow, have a wander around town, get some laundry done. We handed in 400 rupee a kilo. That's about $3.50 per kilo. Wash and dry, folded, everything. The window here, unless I get close to the window, it's just one huge rock face. All I could see is this vertical rock There's a few trees in places where they can manage to hang on, but a little bit higher up, it's just too steep, even for trees, to do. It's just bare rock, and I think some of it is even overhanging. There's an earthquake. This area is going to be in trouble if it hits here and some of this rock comes down. It's hundreds of meters high, that vertical wall. So, the trekkers, probably the majority, are either Nepalese or Indian. They get along very well. They don't seem to differentiate much. The common language is English. Let's see, if I get this right. The Nepalese understand Hindi, but the Indians don't understand Nepalese. The two languages are very similar. But the Nepalese are exposed to a lot more Indian. The music that they listen to on the Jeep, quite loud. And in the wherever they have music on, it's always South Asian. I couldn't tell you Nepalese or Indian. And sometimes they'll just break out singing along with the song. The new Nepalese Prime Minister, who was just elected last month, he's a young guy. He's a former rapper, turned politician, and they elected him because they knew him. Sometimes that's not always a good idea. We'll see how that goes. Yeah, so the rest of the ones, we've run into a few Canadians, not many, but a few. Germans, a couple of French, and probably after Nepalese and Indian, the highest number that we've run into are Israelis, young Israelis that just got out of the army after doing their army service. I think at the age of 18, you have to do 2 years minimum. Depending on your specialty, it could be longer. If you're a pilot, it'll be up to 7 years. But anyway, once they get out, they want to see the world. And they have some money in their pocket. Not a lot, but they have enough money that they want to travel. So the average Israeli is in their early 20s. Howard and I are at least triple their age. And they're excited to get out and see the world. They all speak English. We have found a couple of Americans. One of them was big guy. Married to a Nepalese, and I guess she wanted to show him where she was from, but he wouldn't trek. He would stay. They took a Jeep everywhere. You can get up to 3,600 meters at Menang in a Jeep, but you can't. You could go a little bit further, but not much. The road ends. Everything after that is carried on horses or mules or yaks or people's backs. Today is a rest day in Chamonix. Tomorrow we'll go on another 15K or something. And we'll lose 1,200 meters tomorrow. Air will be so thick we'll have to only breathe once a minute. But today, Howard was a bit slow in the morning, and I went for a walk around town. Wandered in, I wanted more sunscreen, wandered into a store, and there was nobody there. And somebody from another store came over and said, oh, they're not there. I said, they just leave the store open. I guess if somebody local took something, they'd tell them later. People are very honest here. Now, saying that, I'm missing one pair of pants. I don't know where it is. The other issue is we're having laundry done and the power's been off for about 12 hours now. The lines have to get fixed going downhill. There's somewhere they're broken. If the power doesn't come on soon, I'm not going to get my laundry today and I'll have to take the dirty laundry with. I don't know what happened to the missing pair of pants. It's just so unlikely that somebody would steal it. Not to mention how I don't always lock the room, but somebody would have to come in, take them, and why would they steal a pair of pants? It's more probable I left them somewhere, or when I did laundry in Manang, you hand over the laundry, that they somehow misplaced the pants. Who knows? So today we wanted to see, there's a couple of helicopters. Planes, small planes and helicopters in this region in the mountains only fly in the morning from sun up to maybe noon, because by noon the winds are up and it's too strong to fly. Even things like the Q400s and the Dash 7s will not fly after about noon. So anyway, Howard and I were kind of curious about the helicopters going back and forth. Some of them are medical evacuations from the hospital down to the big city or the bigger towns. Some of them are just tourists who hire them. Here's $1,000, take me up the hill. Okay. But anyway, we waited and waited for a helicopter, but the winds were too high and they never came. We just missed. We were like 1 minute away from seeing one take off, and then we could have at least seen what type it was. But we spent about an hour waiting for the helicopters, talking through a fence to the police. There's police station on one side and army on the other side. We talked a bit to the army guys, but then we went and talked to the police. Very friendly. We using the translate app and broken English. They were curious about what kind of work we did, and we retired. One of them is retiring in 10 months. He's been 20 years a driver, police driver. I don't know why, but it seemed to be important that he was a driver. He's not very old, but he's done his 20 years and he can retire. Nobody spoke any English there to speak. A little bit of broken English, but surprisingly not much. Very pleasant for police. Very curious about things. Oh, one of them has a nephew in Ottawa. I believe he's studying, but not absolutely sure. There was a miscommunication through there. And then we walked back. This morning we had at a roadside stall, well, a shack where they have an open fire and they cook things on the fire. Indian, actually. Nobody seems to differentiate too much between Indian and Nepalese. What do we have? I think it's called puri. It's a type of fried bread with a sweet thing in between. Then, and at lunch, we went into this ramshackle little place run by a husband and wife, probably in their 50s, and had soup and momos. Fresh momos means that they're freshly defrosted, by the way. And power out for 12 hours, that's not very encouraging for the freezing. Little side note, we have noticed that families seem to have only one or two kids. I think we saw one family with three kids, and we were talking to some people, Maya at the Bob Marley Hotel, and she confirmed, said most people have one or two kids. That means the replacement rate is well below the required 2.1 average to maintain a steady population. Nepal is going to be in trouble as the population starts to shrink, and it's going to be more old people and less young people. What makes it even worse for these mountain villages is that the younger people don't want to be standing, walking behind a couple of yaks plowing a field, or sitting in a shack selling momos at the side of the road. They go to the big cities, Kathmandu and Pokhara. These mountain villages will slowly start to close down. Imagine they'll start to amalgamate them. People will just give up on what they have in one place and go to another village. And for a while, that'll be a bigger village. Not good for the future. Even the schools are not very busy. The schools are far from full. Well, today is a new day. We're going to walk to the next town. Well, there's a couple of towns in between, but our target town is about 14 kilometers away and 1.2 kilometers down. It's going to be a lot of downhill today. Unfortunately, that's followed by, you know, and dispersed is up, which means even more down. But no such thing as a flat road here. Anyway, yesterday a few interesting things happened. We were at the Indian tea shop across the road. It is a shack. It is run by a man who spends his life crouching down on the floor, mixing flour and water in a bowl, tending his fire with a big pot of oil on top of it. And he makes a few things. Puri, I think it's called. It's a type of fried Nepalese bread. It's actually quite nice. Just don't think about the oil, what vintage it is. He speaks some English. He's a happy guy. Everybody knows him. People hang out there, and he also makes tea. He has a couple of helpers. I'm not sure. I don't think any of his spouse, his wife. But people just hang out there for a while and have chai, and we did. We kind of liked the place. We liked the atmosphere. Okay. Figuratively, we liked the atmosphere. Literally, it's going to kill us. The fire has a chimney going up, and yeah, most of the smoke does go up the chimney. But the ceiling is black. And I'd hate to think about this guy's lungs. He's a happy person. He's nice. We can't have a conversation, but yeah, good enough. And let's see what else. Oh yes, the Jeep drivers know him. I'm wondering if there's some sort of a kickback. Stop at my place and you get free the fried bread, I just said, and chai for yourself. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But everyone likes him. He's a happy person. And so the Jeeps come by, and we were sitting there for a while. And yesterday evening there was a group of Hindu Nepalese, and they all spoke very good English, and we were talking to them. They live in lower Nepal, but they were an older group. They were probably in their 30s and 40s, at least, and definitely couldn't do the walking. So they're taking a Jeep up, and they'll see how far they get towards Lake Tilacho, or Tilacho Lake, technically. I don't think they'll get that close. I don't think they'll be able to walk very far, especially at altitude. You have half an atmosphere at Tilacho Lake. I didn't make it. I decided discretion is the better part of valor, and I want to live. But they're very nice, and we talked to them. One of them, she was 25. She had the best English. She had lived her whole life in a conservation area. I think she works there now. In the low, meaning 1,000 meters, like Calgary. And she wanted to see some of her country. So she is going with her friends, and I'm not exactly sure how they're all related. Very typical. The helicopter comes in up the valley. It only goes in the morning. The helicopters and the planes, if there's only one airport. Actually, there's only one airport and it's closed. So let's skip the planes. Okay, the helicopters, some of them are rescue helicopters. People get acute mountain sickness, AMS. There's two versions of it, like cerebral and pulmonary. And they have to be brought down to at least this altitude. So they'll come in from the higher altitudes down to here. And it's not very high. It's like where Tilicho is. People have died there. Many people have died there. They couldn't call a helicopter, and they lay down and died. But now people have sat phones, some of them. We've never seen one, but we've heard that some people have them. And they get evacuated down into our town. We're at 2,700 meters. I mean, to put it in perspective, that's 2.7 kilometers straight up from sea level. That's quite a way. We're at about 70% atmosphere. It's not bad. I really don't notice it anymore after a while at elevation. But the sick people here in the hospital, these hospitals are all sponsored internationally. I'm not sure how. Maybe, I don't know how they're sponsored. If somebody is very sick, they're flown down to the big city or the big towns lower down. Anyway, that's what our plans are for today. It's still early. Oh, I had my laundry done. The power was out all night last night, and it came on at 6 p.m. around sunset, a bit before sunset, and the people threw the laundry into, like, we gave them laundry. Said, once the power comes on, we'll do it. And I never thought about it. They did. They washed it, and they hung up the wet laundry for us outside in a line outside the room here. They're very nice that way. But it's all wet. I'm going to have to carry wet laundry down to the next town and hang it up in my room. I hung some up in the room. It has a better chance of drying in the room, where at least there's a tiny bit of warmth and there's no chance of rain. Oh, the missing pants. The mystery of the missing pants has been solved. They reappeared out of thin air. I have no explanation. I got the laundry back, and there were the pants, but I never put them in, and the bag was empty. Black magic. Anyway, I have two pairs of pants again, albeit wet. We told the people at this hotel that we told them that we stayed at the Bob Marley Hotel in Pisang, and said, "Oh, that's my cousin. That's we call Foghorn Leghorn, and his wife Maya, and the little kid, who 5-year-old, who is trilingual." We're on the road going down. China Power is building yet another generating station. It's huge. It's a whole river dam, and it's a big project. 135 megawatts. Oh, yeah. For example, Manang is 0.16 megawatts, and that provides more than enough for Manang. They must export this power to Pokhara and maybe Kathmandu.
1,000 volts per mile is their transmission.
So they haven't put in the transmission lines. We might see them farther along. Anyway, they're a few months away from finishing. They might not get it ready in time for the rainy season, so at least it'll start next year. Sorry, I just cut off Howard. He said it's 20 or 30 meter ahead. This project is run by China Power. They do follow a little bit of safety protocols. But we have seen in other sites, hard hats, safety vests, and flip-flops. Let's see, we've been walking a bit over 2 hours. And we're going up and down and up and down. And we're still at the same altitude that we left at, which means in the next 2, 3, 4 hours, we're going to drop very fast. Right beside a stream, we just filled up water. Minor correction, we're sitting here having a break at about the halfway point. We don't lose 1,200 meters today, we lose 600. The big drop comes tomorrow.
The first 2 hours, there's no drop.
Yeah. Well, we hit the downhill sections.
Yeah.
Down, down, down. Switchbacks down. Right behind, we're stopping for lunch, and behind us there's the Chinese hydro construction. They're building some sort of a building behind us. I have no idea what it's for, but it's a big building. It's just anachronism for this place. Walking down is not easy either. It's hard on the shins. We just ran into our first case of somebody trying to rip us off.
They didn't try.
They just charged whatever they wanted, regardless of what the menu is, but we looked at the menu and gave them what the menu said instead. And this is the first time it's happened. Very not Nepali. Good morning, it's another day. 5:30 and I'm wide awake. But then again, everybody in Nepal starts very early and ends early. Let's say in the mountains, I don't know about the cities. Probably because they used to go by the sun. Wake up when the sun rises and go to sleep when the sun sets. So 5:30 isn't early. What was I going to say? Oh yes, coming down the mountain over 3 days. We did about 50K over 3 days. We started in a light coniferous forest with snow. Not at us. It was a few hundred meters above us. We were pretty close to it. We were close to the tree line, close to the snow line, but we were in the trees. And then as we started to go down, Howard said, "Hey, look, deciduous trees. First trees we've seen with leaves." And then later, "Oh, look, bamboo." Yeah. And then we started to notice insects. Not many, but there were some insects. And now that we're down at a much lower altitude, I think it's 2,500, I'd like to say, 2,700, I don't know. It's a lower altitude. It's definitely a different climate. There are some multi-legged insects. I've gone into the lock up all the luggage routine, never leave anything open. Don't want any little visitors to come home. And when I do come home, everything goes into the garage, and then later on it all goes right into the laundry. Everything goes into the laundry. There's the hotel facing the road, and the road is by the river, and the river is loud. It's not an overly big river. It's a fair size, but it's just continuously running over rocks, and sometimes if you're close to it, it'd be close to the waterfalls, it makes conversation difficult. But it is a continuous roar in the background. I keep all the front doors and door and windows closed. I don't want to open the back windows so insects get in, but the room actually is a fair size, so I can't complain. We each have our own two-bedroom room. I think unknowingly I talked the guy down in price from converting, let's say, $14 to $9. He's very nice. We spent the evening at dinner talking while I was eating. Howard had something earlier. We were having a good time talking about the different places, you know, where we lived, where he lives. He has a place, he owns this hotel. It's probably, I don't know, 15, 16, 17, 18 rooms. It's quite large. It's an inn. They're all, you know, and everything is concrete. Everything is concrete. It was interesting. We spent a couple hours with him talking about where he lives, and we taught him Google Maps so he can find his house. He couldn't recognize his house from the satellite photo until it dawned on him finally that is looking down on his roof. Anyway, later on, I'd gone back to my room And there was a knock at the door, and he came by, and he was proudly showing me, look, I found my house again on Street View. And he was so happy about it. by the way, he is now 45 or something. When he said when he was 28, one day he did, in one day, what Howard and I did in 3 days, about 50K, a net downhill. But he did, he said, he was young and strong, 28. He did that in one day. It took us 3 days, and it nearly killed me. I don't know what's going to happen today. My leg is really sore. Goodbye for now. As I said before, after Nepalese and Indians, probably the most common country visitor is Israel. A lot of them get out of the army and come here. The owner of this fine establishment has set up basically a semi-kosher area for them to cook. They have to cook their own food in a kosher way, so he's good with that. He set aside a little area, and the religious Jews will do their own cooking. And bonus, if they come on a Friday afternoon, he knows they're going to be there Friday night and Saturday night, because Saturday they don't travel. So he gets them for 2 nights. We walked today just for 2-3 hours down to the town of Tal, T-A-L. Unfortunately, it's a dying town. There's probably a few hundred people here, like most other towns or villages, whatever you want to call them. A few hundred people. The young people move away. The population is dropping in Nepal, and especially in places like this in the mountains. The town is slowly dying. We walked the length of it. There are several closed down hotels. People just walk away from them. They have no value to anyone. Across the street, there's one. Farther down, there's one. You know, 10 room places, 2 stories. There are buildings just abandoned. Some of them, unfortunately, it's kind of funny though, but there's, it all fell down, and the only building still standing on top says toilet. There's a shrine to somebody I used translate to find out what it said. And it's just a shrine to a 79-year-old. It's quite a big size. It's not much of a shrine. It's really a long concrete area with a bench and a picture of him and some writing on it and a little cover on part of it. We found the gates to the old town. A lot of towns have these, just concrete entranceway, you know, welcome to tell. It's been so long abandoned that the ground has risen nearly a meter. These entranceways all have prayer wheels along the side. You always go with your right hand and you turn them. These prayer wheels are almost level with the ground. I think there was a recent earthquake, in the last 20, 30 years. An earthquake, there are some huge boulders, size of trucks in the middle of a field. And I think a lot of earth came down, and that's why that old entranceway is nearly buried. There's the only prayer wheels we've seen in town here, 2 on each side, which is nothing. There, even the road, such as it is, bypasses the old entranceway. Prayer wheels. The higher up in the mountains, the more there are. People are sort of religious. They're very honest people, so I guess that makes them at least following the religion. Even Foghorn Leghorn, who ran the Bob Marley Hotel, a couple of times a day he would go in to his shrine and he'd mumble some stuff quietly, quite seriously. But down in Tal, we have not seen prayer wheels anywhere. Even in Chamay, farther the last night, it was 2 nights ago. 2 nights ago, there were 20 prayer wheels as you're going down the stairs and in groups. And you just slowly touch and turn them. It's very, actually very meditative. Oh, this town, as we're walking along, the women would come out and from the restaurants and say, lunch, lunch. You have to say no. You can't say yes to everyone. So we've been to 3 or 4 places, just spreading the wealth such as it is. Well, we thought yesterday was our last trekking day, but seems today we did again. We went out of town, went up, I don't know, 100 meters to the road, started walking. All the jeeps were full, or executives, and excuse me, and probably going to the power plants to inspect. But we got a truck after a couple of hours, an empty truck going down to Bessie-Sahar, the town we're headed to. It's about 30 odd kilometers. It should only take 4 or 5 hours. Anyway, we stopped after less than an hour at a truck stop. We know it's a truck stop because of truck stop, not because it says truck stop. And Howard says, don't eat the food, don't even think of it. Probably get gangrene and Ebola combined. But that's okay, I'm not overly hungry now. We stop the truck stop, and there's a lineup of trucks parked here. Well, 3, 4, but one gave up and turned around. The road is blocked up ahead. Landslide or rock slide or something. And they don't expect it cleared for another 6 hours yet. So we sit here in this exciting place. Well, we are finally arrived at our destination, even though we're hoping to go from here into the second largest city in Nepal, Pokhara. We're at the place where we can catch a bus into Pokhara. But we walked in the morning, and then we caught a ride on a truck. And it seems like a lot of these trucks, there is like father and son. Son doesn't drive. He speaks a bit of English, very little. Father speaks less. But we were crammed in there, and it's incredibly bouncy. Like, you get airtime in the seat. And my knees are completely beat up from it. Finally, they got here. They wouldn't accept money. We wanted to give them money. They wouldn't accept it. And we thanked them very much. And then we walked, and then the wind started, and the winds howled in the city, Bessie-Sahar. And the dust came up, and it was hard to see, and we knew it was going to rain, and some shop signs blew off, and displays blew over, and people were scrambling to bring them into their shops. And then the rain started, and it poured. Thunder and heavy rain. And my waterproof pants are soaked, and my shoes are soaked. I put on my jacket, and so at least the top part of me is dry. And we're back in the same hotel that we were in when we were going up. The famous Lumpa Hotel. I think it was $12 a night. We turned down a $25 a night hotel. Very nice. Howard didn't want to pay that much, and I thought about it. Afterwards, now, I was thinking, that was dumb. We can afford it. Let's just have a nice place once in a while. Anyway, we each have our own room. We'll go out for dinner soon. We're in the edges of Bessie-Sahar. It's a small city. We're in the region. We're at the area where all the jeeps going into the mountains leave from. So they're all along here putting on stuff. We're sitting at a cafe There's a mother with three kittens having breakfast. Howard went in and ordered two coffees and a menu. So the guy gave him a menu. We picked up what we want. And we ordered, and the guy says, oh, no food. The kitchen is closed. Very typical. We're on the bus to Pokhara, the second largest city in Nepal. And this is the only road between where we were and the main road, which is not very good either. But we had to slow down a lot because there's a lot of mud here. We're in a 14-seat van. They call it a minivan. Microvan? I can't remember which. It's better off than the buses. And we were up to 22 people at one point. I think we're down to a mere 19 now.
Hey, Godfather Pizza, my man.
Okay, we're in Pokhara.
Oh, don't Oops. Kill him.
It took 3.5 hours to go 100K. There was one good section of road, lasted about 20, 30, 40K. The rest of it was bad. So much like the trucks, the buses or minibus or microvans or whatever, minivans, whatever you call them, have a second worker there, and their job is to open and close the door, collect the money, get the people seated in the right place. When you run out of seats, they pull out boards and bridge the gap for squeeze in more people. They put the stuff on the roof and they take it down. They stop, they yell at the driver where they want to stop. Things like that, a second worker. Then you open and close the door. Sometimes that could be a challenge, but they get the hang of it, no one else can. Well, we got a hotel. We splurged. We spent $25 each for a room and breakfast. Has hot water, showers. It's a very nice looking room. And most importantly, it's been 2 weeks since we've seen a doorknob. It's always been bolts. I'm looking out the window now. We're not overly high. Have a nice view of the construction site across. Guys there aren't working very fast, but it's nice. Get some rest and then we'll hit the town. We are at the hotel, sitting on the patio on what we would call the sixth floor, but it could be even the seventh. They call it five. Anyway, it's the patio is nice. We're the only ones out here. They served us breakfast and they brought coffee first, which is very good. Off to one side, there are some mountains, not very high, 500 meters maybe, and there's Meta World Peace Temple up there. It's apparently a famous site for Buddhists, and a few other houses and other things on the peak. And over there, well, we can see the lake from here. A couple kilometers walk and we'll get to the base of the gondola, which goes up to a slightly higher mountain, still under 1,000 meters, and all covered in trees, of course, because we're at a low altitude here. Right across from us, there's that construction site. Nobody's working, bunch of slackers. There's laundry hanging out. The birds don't land on it too often. There's vultures flying around. We found a bit of a thermal. There goes another one. Ah, two of them. They found a good thermal. We took the tourist gondola up about 700 meters, overlooking Pokhara and the lake and the plateau, the flatlands, which are all farmed. All around, there's probably a dozen hang gliders, dual hang gliders, that you can go on. I would, but Howard doesn't want to, and for a good reason. Questionable standards. After we got back to our hotel, in the afternoon, we knew rain was coming, but it just, the heavens opened, it poured and it poured. And it isn't even the rainy season yet. The car we're taking is a BYD electric. It's about, I think it's close to 200 kilometers. The first 60 odd is mostly paved, some it's dirt, but mostly paved. After that, the dirt disappears. A lot of EVs here. BYD is not a common make. Mostly, almost all Chinese. I don't recognize some of the symbols. Anyway, we stopped, he stopped to charge, maybe just top up. And we stopped at the only KFC I've ever seen, the only recognizable North American, European brand I've ever seen. By the way, we have never seen a single North American car. We've seen a couple of European, Peugeot, and I think something else, but almost every car is China, some Japan, some Korea. We are back in Kathmandu. It's a nice drive. It was worth paying for the private ride. Driver spoke three words of English, and I spoke no Nepalese, except for Namaste. But we got here, he dropped us at a hotel, obviously they know somebody, and went in. How much is a room? 50, meaning US dollars. So I said, oh, no. We're looking for something in about the 3,000 rupee range, which is about 25 Canadian, 26 Canadian. I said, okay. So we got two rooms for 26 Canadian each for two nights. Well, that's genius done gone and did it. I marked the spot in my phone, our hotel, and we went out for a walk, and the streets are zigzaggy spaghetti streets, and we actually found the store where we picked up our original some of our hiking trekking supplies, like rainproof jackets and trekking poles. And he said, where's the hotel? What's the name of the hotel? We do have a hotel, don't we? And anyway, he's playing with the phones, and then my phone started going down in power. My phone started discharging. Right now I'm trying to figure out how to charge it. It's not charging. There it goes. We wandered the streets for a while, and of course then it started raining. And then it started raining a bit more, and we took shelter, and we says, I think we know where it is. And of course the hotel key doesn't have the name of the hotel on it. And I found the marker on my phone, and gave Howard the name. He punched it in, and we found it. We were like half a kilometer away, or less. So we were rescued, but we were laughing about it. How silly. Good morning in Kathmandu. This is a typical day morning in traffic. It's Saturday morning, so it's not too busy. Motorcycle. 100 motorcycles, buses, a truck killing the mosquitoes, and just noise. We have to talk loud to each other just to be heard.
What?
I said we gotta talk loud. We happened to stumble onto the once a year motorcycle rally. All sorts of motorcycles, they haven't started yet. 20, 30 kilometers through the city, and everyone dresses up. Some of them wearing suits, many of them wearing nice, clean, fancy, clean clothes, right beside a police station. A note on the police, they really don't know what they're doing because they're friendly. More bikes showing up. You can tell, bikes coming, people wearing suits, they're going on the ride. We are down by the river at the Hindu cremation site. Ghats. There are several, half a dozen pavilions, and they build wood pyre, put the body on top, covered in straw. We saw one body coming in all covered in orange, and they circle the pyre a few times, put it on, they say some prayers. And we were talking with one person, he was handing out little tetra packs of juices. He said, take one, it's our tradition. So we did. It was actually quite nice, mango. But they've now let great-grandmother on fire. We hear one person crying and that's it. People are pretty neutral emotion here. So I don't know, maybe they didn't like grandma or grandpa or whatever. The man who gave us the drink said they burn the bodies partly because you don't know why they died. Infection or, what do you say? Infection or
disease
of some sort. So you burn the body. It's also you too many people to bury them, too little land. We went down to the river to the Hindu cremation grounds. And I kept thinking, all tourists around, people photographing and looking and guides explaining things and that. What if it was our parents' funeral? And there are a bunch of foreigners standing around talking and explaining, well, this is the way Jews do it, and blah, 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 and they're taking photographs. Oh, interesting. When we were down at the Hindu cremation area, there was about a dozen blind people just sitting in a row, each with a little basket in front of them. And that's what they do every single day. And we saw the police out giving parking tickets. Two police, a 50cc scooter, and two clamp boots on the floor by their feet. They have to go around. And boot cars, the tourist cars, so that they can get some money. The police here are actually friendly. They smile and laugh and talk to you. We are in Delhi Airport now, about to transfer for the flight to Toronto. And then coming in, the plane said, welcome to Delhi. The outside temperature is 44 degrees. Thank you. Post-walk summary. I really like the mountains in Nepal. They're great. People are really friendly. There are not a lot of people. There's a lot of truckers. We went at the end of season. It's a bit rough. You know, unheated hotel rooms and below zero weather, if you're prepared for that. About Nepal itself, big difference between the mountains and the cities, of which there are two major cities, Kathmandu and Pokhara. The cities are incredibly crowded and noisy, nonstop, smoky, no sidewalks. You got to watch where you walk or you get hit by a motorcycle or a car. Howard got hit a couple of times in the arm by motorcycles, but they're never going very fast. Virtually everything in Nepal is either locally made or Asian. China, India, they're the main ones. Cars come from China and India. Tata Motors in India is a big supplier of trucks and everything. There are a lot of electric vehicles. In all the time we were there, we saw one North American car. It was a Tesla Model 3. We saw several European ones, the hoity-toities who want to keep the nose in the air. They'll import a Mercedes or something like that. For the mountains, Jeeps. Now, Jeeps is a general term. They're made in India and China, and they're really rough things which get shaken apart. They're not the fancy-dancy SUVs we have here. They wouldn't last on those roads. Imagine the worst cottage road you've seen, or even a bad logging road, and then make it a lot worse. And you're getting close to what it's like. The average speed of the Jeeps over several hours is maybe 15 kilometers an hour. That's just so that everyone doesn't leave their seats and get blasted against the ceiling, which did happen anyway. So the produce is grown in the country. They do export some. Of all the chain stores and whatever, we saw one KFC that was still under construction in, well, between the two main cities, Kathmandu and Pokhara. Other than that, everything is completely different. You don't see any other stores that you would recognize or car makes. Mahindra makes a lot of the Jeeps. That's obviously Indian. Tata Motors makes a lot of the trucks, too. And these things are pretty rugged. They have to stop and inspect them every 100 kilometers. So before they go up the mountain, it's only about 100 kilometers. And you're up at the end of the road at 4,000 meters. And they inspect them and they fix them. The biggest actual injuries to the vehicles are tires. We did see one tire blow out in a vehicle just in front of us going along. It is bang, and a big cloud of dust comes up and it pulled off to the side. And the whole side of the tire had blown out. Everybody carries spares. All the Jeep drivers in the mountains know each other. If anybody has any problems, the others want to stop and help. They know all the stops along the way because there aren't that many. And a lot of them depend on trekkers. The difference between, by the way, trekking and climbing, trekkers go into what is colloquially called a hotel and restaurants. But, we didn't count the hotels by how many stars they are. We counted by how many points on the one star. Some of them had maybe 2 points on the one star. They're not exactly Michelin rated. The restaurants, similar, although tended to be a tiny bit better. And you can get vegetarian and not everything fried, and that would be safer. China has a big influence in Nepal. They're ostensibly helping the country, but really they are getting the hooks into the country. So when Nepal needs help, they'll go to China, not Russia or the United States. But they also have ulterior motives. China is building many power plants, hydro plants. Nepal is full of running water. China is building these huge, they're not huge actually, they're big hydropower plants, and far too much electricity for Nepal to use. I'm not sure where it's going. It could be going south to India or north over the mountains into China. But either way, China gets the majority of the profit. Nepal benefits because they surely, I hope, they charge a tariff on the exports. By the way, 2 months before we went, there were student riots against the corrupt government. And then they elected Shah, is his name, 35-year-old rapper who now is prime minister, and people are holding a lot of hope in him. The army was called in quite a few times to calm things down, and now things are calm, and we're hoping they stay that way. Well, thank you for listening, and hope you enjoyed it and weren't too bored.